Hello, hello. My name is Pandy, and you're listening to The Human Resource. I'm going to take you down a path that we haven't gone before. We're going to talk about travel time. I get a lot of questions, well, not consistently, but every so often I'll get an employer and say, you know, when do I have to pay an employee if I send them off to a conference? Or what is really required if I send them off on a training seminar? And it's a valid question, because most of the time these are non-exempt employees. These are employees that we are taught by the Fair Labor Standard Act to pay for actual hours worked. But the question is, when are they working if they're traveling? So let's go over a few of these. I can send you a copy of these if you can't write them down or if you're driving. But let's kind of go over these, because I know that at some point you're going to have these come up. And they're, again, very, very valid questions. First one, when they're traveling from their home to the work site, for a non-exempt employee, that's considered work time, compensated work time. And this is where it kind of gets a little tricky. If you've got an HVAC guy who drives the truck home and he doesn't have to stop into the office, he can go straight from his home to his first customer. That is not compensated time. If he's going to the office to pick up materials, that might be. So let's go to the next one. Travel that is all in the day's work. Time spent by an employee in travel as part of his or her principal activity, going to the job site because it's where he's going to be spending his work. Absolutely. And that's just why I said if they're going from home to the job site, compensated. If they're driving from home to the office or to the distribution center, from home to the distribution center, no. From the distribution center to the job site, yes. Now, home to work on a special one-day assignment in another city. Let's say that we're sending them from St. Louis to Springfield. Yes. Time spent traveling to and returning from another city is time worked for a non-exempt. Now, that's the employer can take out the time that they would have traveled to the office. And let's work an example on that one. If they're based out of St. Louis and they're traveling to Springfield, Missouri, and it takes 3 hours, 2.5 hours, if I'm right, to get from one destination to the other, and yet it would have taken that employee 30 minutes from their residence to the office, we can deduct that half hour. So we're only compensating him for 2 hours of the 2.5 between cities. Now, you want to explain this to the employee, help them understand, but that is permitted. Travel away from a home community. Travel that keeps an employee away from home overnight is considered travel away from home. It's clearly work time when it's across the employee's work day. So be very careful about that. I'm not telling you that if they leave and go to a different community that we're going to pay them for 24 hours. We're not. We should only be asking them to work a regular day, so we're only going to compensate them for a regular day. Working hours as a passenger on an airplane, train, boat, bus, or automobile, a passenger, is not compensated time. So once you get to the airport and they're flying somewhere, that does not have to be paid. And I have a number of employers who say, look, I'm asking them to do this on a Saturday or on a Sunday so that they can start working right away on Monday. I want to go ahead and pay them. Well, that is totally up to you. But according to wage and hour, you don't and are not responsible for paying, because that, again, is travel time, but it's outside of the work hours for normal when it's like on the weekend like that. So what if we've got somebody who's driving? Now, we're not talking about a CDL, okay? We're talking about somebody who's coming into the office and then they're going to pick up supplies and run them to the work site. Well, that's absolutely time that we're going to compensate them for, because they're actually working. They're spending time doing something that's necessary and required by the company. In fact, when we have this, and I end up, my lawn service companies will do this, my HVAC guys, construction workers, they have people who run errands and do this stuff to help each other, taking parts or taking supplies and such. But what they seldom understand is that you can have two different pay rates because we have two different tasks. Hypothetically, let's say the gentleman is normally and professionally trained to be an electrician. And if he is, great. We're going to pay him $30 an hour. But when he's off the job of using those skills and he's driving to run errands or drive parts or such, we can actually pay him at a different rate, more appropriate to the responsibility and task that he's doing as a driver. So if he hits $30 as an electrician, any time he spent behind the wheel delivering for us is $10 an hour. Now, that can cause some issues if there's overtime, because we're going to combine the two and we're going to make the two a regular rate to determine what his overtime should be. But we still have the freedom to acknowledge what he's actually doing. Now, I don't recommend that you take individuals and do the dicing and slicing like that. It can be wreak havoc with your payroll. But if you have any questions, you can certainly go back these rules. Call me, check with us, talk to your labor law attorney. You don't want to mess with somebody's pay unless you're really certain that what you're doing is correct. And then the one I want to talk about too is, what about riding time? Because sometimes I'll have employers say, hey, everybody meet at the office and we're going to take one of the company vehicles and we're all going to go together. Maybe it's to a conference. Maybe it's to a seminar or something. How is that paid for non-exempt workers? Well, it's very simple. Time spent with an employee in travel as part of a principal activity, such as travel from job to job site, is during the workday is compensated. So if you've got two guys, especially my HVAC guys, we'll have two guys because the equipment is so large. We'll have two riding in the truck. One's a driver, one's not. But they're both going to get compensated for their time in that vehicle going to a job site. But if I've got a group of individuals coming together and we're all headed to a seminar or something, that time is not considered compensated. So travel from a designated place to the workplace is part of a day's work and must be counted as hours worked regardless of the contract customer practice. However, employees who go home instead of returning to an employer's premises or travel after hours, after hours of time worked, is not compensated. I know this sounds really, really complicated, and I'm trying to make it as simple as possible, but just know that you do have the opportunity to pay for only hours worked. Riding time is a little tricky, especially if the employee is required to report to a meeting place and whether the employee performs any work. So I want to go back over that again, and I've even got it highlighted here in pink. Remember, if somebody is to report to a spot and you really have no intentions of paying them because we were going to all leave and go together, make sure they're not fueling up the vehicle or taking out the trash or sitting there talking about another project, make sure that they're not engaging in any kind of work at all. You don't want them to be working outside of your budget, number one. Number two, you don't want them doing things that you might have someone else there to do, which forces you to pay them. And quite frankly, it could throw you into overtime if you don't understand where these guidelines are and where the lines are for work-related time traveling and non-work-related traveling. I completely understand how confusing this can be. And again, I just wanted to touch on a few, but if you need these details, if you need more information on when you should and when you don't have to pay a non-exempt employer or employee, excuse me, please make sure you're talking to your labor law attorney, your consultant. Make sure you're definitely following the regulations of the Fair Labor Standard Act. And come and visit us again, because I'm sure I'll have something else interesting to tell you. Take care.